gotta leave your money behind you. Raise your hand to the sky. Ask the masses for silence.
Welcome back to Gimme Some Truth. I am Alicia Vandeven at Wachner Condon Financial Advisors, and I am here today with Polly Price in the studio. And today we are going to be continuing our conversation about women in finance. Last time we were together, we talked with our summer intern, Caitlin, and got to hear her experience of how she got into the industry and what her school program is like. And today, Polly and I are going to be diving a little bit more into women in finance and why it's important and how getting more women into the field can help not only serve female clients, but clients of all types.
Yeah, I think it was helpful to talk to Caitlin to kind of see and hear her experience now and what it's like for her. You know, she's still in school and she's still going through the program and she's getting her finance degree, which is awesome. But that wasn't necessarily the case for Alicia nor I. We both are career changers, and Alicia, you've been here for a year now?
Almost a year.
Yeah, yep. And I've been here for 2 years, and we both changed careers and did something pretty much completely different before this. So Alicia, do you want to give a little bit of background to that?
Yeah. So yeah, it was interesting hearing how Caitlin got in, you know, with a dad as a financial advisor. It's something that she was always exposed to. And I think for you and I, like, neither of us had that experience.
No.
You know, personally, I didn't know that this was an option. I thought to be in finance, you had to sell investments or sell insurance. And I was, you know, long out of my undergrad before I found out that this was actually a job I could do. And one thing that really helped me learn more about the industry and learn more about exactly the type of firm I wanted to work for and what type of financial advisor I wanted to be was in 2020 during COVID, when the Financial Planning Association, Hannah Moore, created an internship program for all of the students whose internship had gotten canceled due to COVID. But then even if you didn't have an internship, you could participate in this program. And that is what really allowed me to find out what the industry was like and why it was important for me to become a CFP and what different models were out there and how people were serving their clients. And it really exposed me to an entirely different business model than I had seen before. And that was really what helped to drive and grow the passion that I already had and get really excited about the career change that I was making. Mm-hmm. You know, I had been at home for 10 years with my kids, and before that I worked in HR, and it just got me really energized to start grad school and to go back and to end up where I am today. And that's really what led me here. And so what was that experience like for you? Because you're a career changer as well. Mm-hmm. So how did you find yourself at Wachner Condon?
So I used to work in nonprofit development for like almost 10 years before I started working here. And I honestly, you know, I was a history and environmental studies major at UW. I never saw myself in finance. I never saw myself in this industry. And I don't know if, like, subconsciously that was because, you know, I didn't have friends going down this path. I didn't know a lot of women in this path. My parents are both in academia, so this wasn't, like, you know, I didn't have it really modeled for me. So I don't know, maybe that was subconsciously, you know, there was some type of hesitation to even think about a career in finance. But honestly, and I just maybe at that point in my life wasn't as interested in it too. But then, you know, once you get a job and start, you know, making a little bit of money and realize that there's all these other considerations that you have in your life as you get older and accumulate more, it kind of made me think about, you know, self-education and how do I go about doing that to make sure I'm making the right decisions for myself and, you know, my future family down the road. And I kind of started looking at, you know, other career opportunities, listening to podcasts and researching, you know, different types of different, you know, blogs and, like I said, podcasts. And I actually got, I learned a lot from the Her Money podcast, and they have a blog too. And actually, like in the title says Her Money, so it's geared towards women. So there's something with that, you know, that like it was geared towards women and it made me feel comfortable going into it being like, okay, this area is geared towards someone like me who might not, you know, have the family history of, you know, knowing how to make all the best financial decisions for yourself, or, you know, maybe they'll be able to explain it in ways that make more sense to me. So reading and learning from that podcast, I kind of got, and they talked a lot about how important it is for women to get into this industry and kind of for how the reasons that we'll talk about today. And it got me thinking about it. And then honestly, after a few years, I realized that maybe this is something that could happen. And I was lucky enough to, through a connection, meet Nate. And, you know, after about a year or so, I was able to come on board. And it's, you know, the best decision I've ever made. And I'm so happy. But, yeah, I mean, I think that subconscious part of me probably was a little bit intimidated when I first started in the industry. And I think, I'll let you talk about this, obviously, Alicia, but like you and I have had a really great experience here at Walkner Condon. Like, yeah. I look at the rest of the partners and other advisors and you, of course, as my mentors. But I know that not everyone, especially not every woman in this industry, is as fortunate as we are in that sense. And I think that plays a big part into kind of what we're talking about today of how important it is for more women to get into this industry.
Definitely. And it is something Caitlin mentioned when we were interviewing her, was that she saw the lack of women as finance majors as a challenge. That made her want to go into it even more. Mm-hmm. And it was the same way for me. I was like, oh, there's not very many women in this. And that energized me. I was like, I'm going to go in and I'm going to, you know, push through that. And that's, I've always seen that as a challenge instead of a deterrent. But there's a lot of women out there who don't see it that way. And they look at this industry that isn't very female friendly always. And they say that's a barrier. They're like, oh, well, that's not a profession. That's for me. That's not a place I'd feel comfortable. I don't have the skills for that. And so how many people is this industry missing out on? Very people who could be excellent planners, mm-hmm. Build great relationships with their clients, and we're not attracting those people to the industry, and the industry is losing out on talent.
Right.
Because women are looking at that and going, that's not for me. Because they don't know enough about the different types of jobs available in the industry and what skills you need to be successful in the industry. Because there's a lot of misconceptions out there about what it means to be a financial advisor. And there's a lot of different ways to be a financial advisor and different roles within the industry. And I think part of the education comes from is us kind of letting people know, well, what do you actually need to be successful in this job? And what are the different paths you can take as career options?
Yeah. And I think, yeah, Caitlin definitely talked about that, how she said she was surprised, but like she knew because of, you know, her family history in this profession, how it could be a very much relationship-based role.
Yeah.
And I think to your point, that was never something I really thought about a financial advisor being as a relationship-based profession. And once I realized that, it kind of made it stick in my head that like, oh, this is something that like I would want to stick with for a long time. Like I want this to be my career for the rest of my career.
Yeah.
And I think it's because of that relationship piece that like, and I don't, you know, it's certainly not just women who are looking for that, but I would imagine a greater proportion of women look at that as something that's important for their work experience.
Yeah. Like if you're a people person, if you like talking with people and building relationships, mm-hmm. this is actually
and helping people.
Yeah. This is actually a really good career path to do that. You know, like, yes, there's the finance piece of it. There's the math piece of it, you know, but there's a lot of software today that's going to help you do that. You know, you're not going to be doing, you know, extensive, you know, math formula calculations. You know, you spend most of your time talking with your clients.
Well, and that's all learned too, right? Like, I mean, maybe for some people it comes a little bit easier, but for me, those are parts of the industry that like I have to every single day, like, you know, really learn and educate myself and continue that part of the industry is like that is my self-education within this firm. But a lot of those like relationship skills, some of those are more innate in people. And those are things that like you might be able to bring to the table right away versus, you know, yeah, it might take you a year or two to like get more of the industry, you know, the details under your belt, but like that relationship piece.
Yep.
And again, I am, you know, I am in this role of like client support. And that is, you know, you don't have to be as technical in that job, but I'm still in the industry, right?
Yep.
So
exactly. Yeah. There's a lot of different ways you can be in the industry, you know, and I think people underestimate the importance of building a good relationship and how important that is in the industry. And I think that one of the statistics that sort of highlights that is that it's estimated that over 80% of widows change their financial advisor after the death of their spouse. Mm-hmm. And I think that that speaks to several things, but one of which is that the advisor didn't take the time to build a relationship with the spouse. So she's feeling like when her husband passes away, either she doesn't have any relationship with a financial advisor or it's a negative relationship. Maybe she never really felt included in financial planning discussions. Maybe, you know, he never made eye contact with her. You know, maybe he didn't really look for her input or she just wasn't present for those at all. And so she wanted to find somebody where she felt she had a relationship with a person. Mm-hmm. You know, there could be a lot of different reasons for that. But it's also, I think it's also on the advisor to make sure that you're reaching out to both partners in a couple. Mm-hmm. Whoever comes to you first, whether it's the husband or the wife or whoever it is, you know, making sure that you engage their spouse in the financial planning conversation, because it certainly is likely at some point due to death or divorce that you may end up working with only one of them. You know, like the other statistic is that 90% of married women will end up needing to manage their own finances at some point due to divorce or widowhood.
That's such a high percentage.
That's crazy to me. That is crazy to me. And how many women feel prepared to do that? Like, I would argue not many. You know, so that I feel like is an opportunity for advisors of a whole sector that is going to need to be served. And if you're just building a relationship with the husband and a couple, you're missing out. Yeah. And you're only serving half of that client.
Yeah. And to be fair, Alicia and I we're not saying that men don't have, you know, that you can't find all these qualities in a male advisor. We're certainly not saying that. What we are saying is that perhaps there's a greater chance that having more women in the field will be able to serve more clients.
Yeah.
In a way that they feel better listened to and understood and helped because of the different perspectives and support that a female advisor can provide them.
Yeah.
And some of those things like you just talked about, like the 90% of women who will find themselves taking care of their finances by themselves at some point in their life, like that's extraordinary. And we understand that. Like you need to plan for that, right? Like there's a reason why you need to have there's a reason why you need to plan for that is because you are going to live longer than your spouse, probably your partner, whoever. You're going to live longer than them, so you need to plan your retirement funds to make sure that they're lasting another 10, 20 years, whatever it is.
Yep.
And there's also other perspectives, like, you know, women have, you know, we look at things through different lenses, whether it's, you know, having a family, raising a family, you know, women just have different health concerns than men do, quite frankly. And so some of those things are important to consider. And maybe, you know, again, not every woman is going to want to have a female advisor, but some will. Some do. Yeah. And some are going to want to, you know, bring those issues to the table in front of another female advisor.
Well, it is an opportunity for male advisors as well to just have a better understanding that they need to maybe be more proactive in including women in the financial planning conversation, even if they maybe don't really want to be. And I think that's the hard thing is you can only encourage, right? You can only say like, hey, we'd love to have you be part of the conversation. Hey, what do you think about this? What are your concerns? You know, being proactive and trying to include both parts of the couple in the conversation, you know, and I also think that it's, you know, maybe is lighting a fire under some women who are like, ugh, I don't want to deal with that. Like, I like that my partner takes care of it. And honestly, like my husband is guilty of that. It's not always necessarily the wife. You know, my husband, I make him sit down once a year and I go through all of our stuff with him. I was like, if I get hit by a bus, I want to know that you understand where all of our money is, how it all works, what our accounts look like. So in case something happens to me. And so I think it can go both ways, but just knowing that you should sort of take some ownership and responsibility to become educated in case something happens to your spouse so that you do feel prepared. Because trying to grieve the death of a spouse or to go through a difficult divorce while also then trying to learn your finances, if you've never done that before, that can seem really overwhelming. Where if you take the time to sort of get educated as it goes, and if something happens, you're not trying to deal with your finances on your own for the first time while also going through something else difficult.
Right. Like I can't imagine. And then also, you know, being on the receiving end of an advisor who maybe you don't feel as comfortable with and having to go through those things, it's like twofold, right?
Yeah.
And I think here at the firm, especially you and I, Alicia, we're big proponents of, you know, education and financial education, financial literacy. We know that financial illiteracy is a huge problem in women and various populations within this country, and that's an issue, right? That's an issue for a lot of reasons, an economic issue, but also it's a health issue. Like, we know that finances are a huge strain on people's, like, on everything, and especially on their stress levels, and that goes back to your health. So, you know, why not figure out how to say this? But, it basically comes down to the more people that you educate that have a financial education, the more people they're going to then be able to go turn around and educate. And when we look at the population of caregivers in this country, it's majority female.
Yeah, I liked what you said in the blog post that we need to acknowledge that a better financial education often starts at home. Mm-hmm. So, you know, kind of in your research for that article, what did you find that really kind of stuck with you as far as what that might look like?
I think it's just a matter of, this is kind of another piece of the conversation. It's not necessarily talking about, you know, you need to work with female financial advisor, but the more female financial advisors or more females and women that are in this industry, there's a better chance that they might be able to take the education that they have and the knowledge that they have from working in this industry and turn around and, you know, pass on that education to their friend circles, their family, their children, their, you know, next of kin, their, you know, whatever connections, communities that they have. There's a better way for them to disseminate that knowledge, and it just keeps that population of financial education growing, right?
Yeah.
Which is important because a lot of that, you know, we talked about this before, but you don't get a lot of this information in schools. Like, you don't get it all through K through 12. I mean, I was a history major. I did not get this education in college. You know, that was on me, obviously, but, like, it's just not, you know, it wasn't a prereq for anything that I did. So, and it's important. It's such an important part of your life. So why isn't it? And you could name a million different reasons, but when it comes down to it, you know, maybe that's a bigger case for why it's so important to start that education piece at home.
Yeah, no, I agree. I would love to see more financial education in schools. That would be great. In my undergrad, it was an elective. I took a personal finance as an elective class. And that is something that should be a gen ed requirement. That should be something that they cover in high school. But, you know, right now they don't. So it is often up to parents or other family members to fill in that gap when it comes to financial education. And if you're fortunate enough to have a financial advisor, you know, if they're a good one, they're happy to share their knowledge and information with you. And if you can kind of say, hey, you know, my kid's in high school, they just got their first job, you know, what's the smartest thing that they should be doing with their money at age 16? You know, I would love to have that conversation with my clients and say, yeah, you know, because a few really simple, easy things at that age can go a long way. Mm-hmm. And I know everybody at this firm sees kind of that education piece as like part of their job. And that's something that I really enjoy about working here is that, you know, I think we're all very interested in educating our clients, mm-hmm. not just telling them here's what you should do, but well, here's why, mm-hmm. And sharing that information, kind of disseminating more financial information to everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's why we're doing this podcast. It's why the firm has a podcast. That's why we have a blog. That's why, you know,
exactly.
We put this information out there because it's important. It's important for our clients. It's important for the general population, whoever wants to listen to it. And I think that's another piece of it too, is like, you said you took it as an elective. And I was thinking in the back of my brain when you said that, I was like, good for you. Also, when I was in college, like, I would never have been like, you know what sounds fun as an elective, a personal finance class. Like, I took bird watching in college, which, by the way, I absolutely loved and I'm so happy I did. But like,
I love that.
Yeah. Like, it doesn't really serve me in the same way as having maybe some form of, you know, personal finance class under my belt when I was, you know, all of a sudden 21 and getting a salary.
I mean, I also took snowboarding as an elective.
Yeah.
So,
okay, yeah.
But no, personal finance as an elective definitely did sound fun to me. So,
well, and that's like, and that's great. And maybe it takes, you know, more women in the industry to make those types of courses or those types of classes seem more enticing. You know, I think there's a huge population of like personal finance bloggers and podcasts, and like, you know, the FIRE movement was so big for so long, and like that I think blew up in terms of like, you know, that industry. But I think that there's a way to kind of translate that into like more serious, like educating not kids necessarily, but like maybe young adults.
Yeah. It can be empowering. Financial education is very empowering.
Yes.
You know, when you feel like you're in control of your finances, you have options.
Yeah.
You know, financial dependence of women is another big issue, especially coming out of COVID.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of women had to quit their jobs or were laid off. And we what we've seen is that the statistics say that women haven't all really gotten their jobs back. There's still millions of women who lost their job during COVID or had to quit during COVID and haven't gone back to work. And so now those women are probably financially dependent on a spouse or on some other family member. And having being in charge of your own finances and having the knowledge to manage your own finances puts you in the driver's seat and in better control of your own life. And I am a big proponent of giving women and everybody the tools that they need to kind of be in the driver's seat of their own financial situation.
Right. Absolutely. And that, I mean, same here. And that comes back to like the stress question or like the stress issue of like, it's so important to, or we know that financial decisions and finances are such a stressful part of everyone's lives. Well, we need to help people understand that, you know, that is, you know, that is maybe more important to your longevity than like your skincare routine. But like, yet everyone, you know, like you could see, ask so many people off the street what type of, you know, skincare health regime.
Yeah, if you want to avoid those stress lines in the first place,
so
don't
maybe,
get, you know.
Yeah, maybe we can talk about that another day or go into, you know, how we kind of push the industry in that direction so it seems more like a, you know, something more enticing to people.
Yes. It doesn't have to be dry. It doesn't have to be boring.
Yeah.
Finances can be interesting. It can be fascinating. It can be useful.
Yes.
And as a profession, I think we have a lot of education that we can do to get more people. Even if you're not going to pursue a career in financial advising, even if we can just reach more people to say, hey, you should at least be knowledgeable about this because it's something that everybody has to deal with in their life.
Yes.
Getting more women into the industry, great. But just getting more women educated about finances is also a huge win.
Yes, I agree. Well, I think that's about all the time Alicia and I have today. We're going to have to make this like a three-parter again. Maybe we'll talk about that, you know, the healthcare, you know, the health issues or skincare regimes next time.
Or how finances affect marriages.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, this
we
will not be
it.
The last time you'll hear us talk about this subject.
Yeah.
So we look forward to you guys tuning in again the next time we sit down and talk about women in finance. Until then, that is it for Give Me Some Truth.
Wachter Conin Financial Advisors is a registered investment advisor with the SEC. Registration with the SEC does not imply a certain level of skill or training. The opinions expressed by the participants of this podcast are their own and do not reflect the opinions of Wachter Conin Financial Advisors. All statements and opinions expressed are based upon information considered reliable, although it should not be relied upon as such. Any statements or opinions are subject to change without notice. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Information expressed does not take into account your specific situation or objectives and is not intended as recommendations appropriate for any individual. Listeners are encouraged to seek advice from a qualified tax, legal, or investment advisor to determine whether any information presented may be suitable for their specific situation. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Thanks for listening, and for further information, please visit WalknerCondon.com.